Let's see if I can remember the intro. This is Whispers of Oxenfurt, a podcast based on the Witcher universe by Polish author Andrzej Sapkowski. Okay, it has been a bit since I've been in the studio. And what I mean by studio is the dining room area of my apartment. This is Lady of the Lake, Chapter 6. There's not too much we're really getting into here, but there's going to be a lot of lore talk. So if you want to hear about some dwarfs and you want to hear about their homeland of Mahakam, then you've come to the right place. But first and foremost, I see there has been a review, an iTunes review, so I'm going to go ahead and read that sucker off. Relive the Witcher Chapter 1. It's kind of cut off, so I think it might be one at a time. I've just recently read The Last Wish and Sword of Destiny and wanted to see if I could find a Witcher-related podcast. And lo and behold, I found Whispers of Oxenfurt, a Witcher podcast. It's obvious that Brett loves the material, and his enthusiasm is infectious. I can't wait to read more of the books, and I'll most certainly be checking out this podcast along the way. From the Yastrum, or the Jastrum. I'm assuming it's J, like Yara in here, the Yastrum. So, that was 5 stars, by the way, if you couldn't tell. Thank you very much for that review, and anybody out there giving the reviews and the ratings, I thank you. It's the very easiest way to support the podcast, and I truly appreciate it as much as I can say in words across this podcasting spectrum. So we got that out of the way. There's really no news. I'm going to try to get as many chapters in as I can. Been very, very, very busy. It turns out teaching and coaching high school is like a full-time job that takes up a lot of time. I mean, I did it 10 years ago. Doing it again, who would have thunk it? But we're getting into the meat of this final chapter. And those that have already read this, y'all know what's coming. Y'all know the chapter's coming up. You can tell, even if you don't know what's going to happen, you can tell that everything here is kind of building with what's jumped back. So we're kind of getting through here, and we'll eventually get down to the climax and the culmination of the Witcher saga. We're almost there. And we will 100%, no matter what, I will 100% finish this before the TV series comes out, which I still don't think has a concrete set date or even like a trailer other than that. It'll be done by then, I promise. We'll get the ball rolling. I kind of get a little better schedule on there. Without further ado, here is Lady of the Lake, Chapter 6. Yara, what else can be said, was very disappointed. Well, Yara, the feeling is almost mutual, because I was disappointed to see you in this chapter. And okay, I'll just get this out. I've had it before. Y'all can tell probably how I've done the chapters in this book. So far, I haven't really been a fan of it too much. And the reason being is, because this has been built up of so many books in this saga, you've got Geralt in some chapters, and you've got your Ciri chapters, and then this we break away. And I know it's to set up what's coming, but again, you have so much going on with where we've left Ciri, with where we've left Geralt. Yen, who the hell knows? Well, I mean, we do know, has come up. She's basically been an afterthought. We kind of know what's happening there, but we kind of don't, and that's kind of what Geralt's on his way to do, and then Ciri kind of sees it, so she's going there. I just have not been too big a fan of what's coming up. The jumps to the future for like half a page and then jumping back, and then going like 3/4 of a page, and then going over here, and then jumping all around, it does work at times. It's very good at times, but other times, it just doesn't quite hit for me, and I don't know if it's because I'm rereading this now or going through it in a different manner of the analyzing and obviously doing something like a podcast about it. This chapter has its moments. So we're going to sum that up pretty quickly and then we'll get the other stuff to talk about, mainly the dwarfs and Mahakam. But anyway, yeah, Yara or Jara. I'm going to call him Yara because that just seems like it's going to be a soft J. But Yara, who we haven't seen for a while, he's the one who was at Meletali's temple, had some thoughts about Triss, crushed hard on Ciri, but as mentioned in this chapter, he had some shameful thoughts about Triss Marigold, which, you know, oh, I'm not getting into that. All right, so Yara's back, and along with his friend Melfi, and I was going to find, I couldn't find a good Sopranos drop for Dr. Melfi, who, if you've seen The Sopranos, you'll understand that. And if you haven't seen The Sopranos, I'm not sure if I'll say to watch it, because it came out 20 years ago, and I'm not sure how much it really holds up, but it was a great show, and I watched it about 15 years ago. And I digress. They've decided to join the defense against the Nilfgaardian invasion. At first, they come into contact and want to join the Mahakam Volunteer Army sent by Brúðarhug as their contribution for the defense against the Nilfgaardian virus spreading across the continent. Dennis Cranmer, of all people, shows up and takes him in. The Dennis Cranmer we have not seen since the very first book, not the first novel, the first book, The Last Wish, as the captain of Duke Hereward's guards. So he's back, and after he learns that Yara has defected from Litli's temple, he does take him in despite kind of teasing slash shaming him. So they go to the Shaggy Bear Inn, in which Zoltan Shive, the Sihilist dwarf, he doesn't have that sword anymore, Geralt has it, converses with a buffed-up Sheldon Skaggs. And the buffed-up Sheldon Skaggs, again, is going to be one of those things where if you play Gwent, the Witcher card game, you'll understand it. If you don't, just think of a swole Skaggs, and we'll move right along. Along with the Yarpin Zigrin, who's back again, not hunting dragons anymore, they discuss the veracity of Emir's claims that Cirilla has been taken in and married to him. Also, Yara gives Ciri's name when asked who was the name of his love. So he's still thinking about her a little bit. They talk about some more, but the here and now is Field Marshal Menno Korn and the Center Army is what matters. The great war to end all wars, or the war to end war. Which, if that sounds familiar to you, is a phrase that was widely used by American President Woodrow Wilson during World War I. And it is now laughable to think that ever saying that there was a war that was going to end all wars is to ever taken sincerely. The line from this chapter definitely comes from Dennis Cranmer, as when Yara says, "Hey, it's the war to end all wars," he retorts, "Look, son," he said at last very seriously, "Evangeline Appard is sitting at the bar. She is, one must admit, large. Why, even enormous. But in spite of her size, beyond all doubt, she isn't a whore to end all whores." And again, it's very, very liberal use of the term whore in that case, but I think the point is made, and I think it is a very humorous line, and really does kind of sum up that just because this war was the biggest one we've ever seen, why the hell would it stop ones in the future? And given what we know about World War II compared to World War I, one even demonstrably larger was only about 20, 25 years away. Yara is told that he cannot join the Dwarven Company because, as it turns out, he's not a dwarf. Shocking, really. I'm sure he was crushed. So he departs them to join the PFI, the Père Fucking Infantry.
Got any vittles? Hungry like a wolf, I am.
At this point, we enter the final stage of the chapter and tag along with a group led by a, as we say in Texas, a real some bitch named Pike. This is whom Yara was traveling with earlier on him and Melfi's way to join the PFI. These dudes decided, hey, we're going to have a little fun. We're not really going to join up yet, or maybe not ever. We're going to go and mess with this halfling family, the Hildebrands. And bing, bang, boom, their attempt at banditry ends in complete failure as they are all killed. They should have collected a gentleman's tax on another village that wasn't going to slay them so quickly. Where should we bury the brigands, Mr. Rocco? In the birch copse, next to the other ones. We ran into the Mahakam Volunteer Army here.
We'll put Mahakam boots to Imperial arses!
On their way to fight the Nilfgaardians. Let's read about the homeland, Mahakam. This comes from the book The World of the Witcher. The dwarven ancestral homeland contains the great mountain massif of the same name. It rises between the lands of human kingdoms, Temeria to the west, and Edirne and Lyria to the east. Mahakam is famous for its workshops, forges, and ironworks, which are renowned for producing the best steel in the world, and as a result, the finest weapons. Although the kings of Temeria are the titular lords of Mahakam, in practice the region is largely autonomous, with the local dwarven clans governed by a chosen elder. Currently the possession is held by the previously mentioned Brewer Hoog, an elderly dwarf famous for his adherence to tradition and his controversial decrees aimed at upholding it. During the Northern Wars, the dwarves of Mahakam remained officially neutral but tended to support the Northern Kingdoms. The elder spoke out decisively against his kin joining Scoia'tael units, and Mahakam provided much-needed arms to the Northern Coalition, even going so far as to form its own volunteer regiment, again, the one we met here. So there's a big increase in the amount of volunteers, not just dwarven, but the Nordlings and the humans. And why is that? Well, we're given some hints in the readings. One basically about the insurrection in Verdun. Now at the beginning, I didn't read the beginning because it's very long. Before each chapter, they have this like information that kind of gives you some bit of information on the upcoming chapter. And this one is basically about the trial, sentence, and execution of Joachim de Wet, who again was the leader of the Verdun group, the Army Verdun group. Their job was basically to attack and cover flanks of Menno Kohorn's army center group. So they're going to go up and their flanks, their sides, will be covered by Joachim de Wet and the Verdun group and Ardal Ebdahi on the other side of that. And so basically what we get here is Duke de Wet committed, as it says here, unspeakable atrocities against the civilian population. What generally happens about that is people then tend to rise up. The king who had been devoted to the empire was eliminated, and his son, Prince Kistrin, sympathized with the Nordlings, along with the group from Skellige, pirates from Skellige, as it says. They basically then launched this guerrilla warfare against de Wet and the Nilfgaardians, delays the offensive of the center army group, and instead of protecting that wing and covering them, it basically ties down Menno Kohorn. But the biggest thing that comes out of that is the flocks of volunteers that join them. But another thing, perhaps even bigger, is the psychological impact it had that the myth of Nilfgaard's invincibility was broken forever. So kind of talking through and getting some of this out, so maybe I was a little bit harsh on this chapter to begin with, but again, it's largely not quite an exposition dump, but there's a ton of it in there as you have Dennis Cranmer and Yara walking around talking about Menno Kohorn's army center group coming up and how, oh yeah, this insurrection in Verdun and all of this is basically to let us know that this is all coming to a head. And if you're binge listening to this podcast, I probably said that the last several episodes because it is. And they're kind of getting, or Sapkowski, you can say, is getting all the ducks in a row, everything lined up, because, again, no spoilers, but it's about to just set off, okay? I would think it should happen soon. I'm just going to say that too. Whenever I listen to podcasts that, usually it's like TV shows, and like they'll watch an episode, or they'll watch a season, and so they'll say they'll watch like 10 episodes, and then they'll do an episode of a podcast for each TV episode, but they act like they don't know what's going to happen. And they'll say like, oh, well, it's like, say it's like a murder mystery. They're like, oh, well, I think this can do it. I think this will do it. And it always just annoys me because they know what happens. And I don't understand why they're doing that, because if they know what happens, if they say, oh, I think it's this person, it's not going to be who actually did it, because that would ruin it. But because they know the ending of it, somebody listening who might not know the ending then knows, okay, well, that's not it. So that's why I'm never going to be like, ooh, I wonder what's going to happen here. What's the other Nilfgaardians going to win? Is the Nordlings going to win? Or Mahakam, the Scoia'tael? I mean, I know what happens. But, I'm not going to blow smoke up your bum. I guess I've cussed enough on the other one. I probably just could have kept cussing here. So, yeah, I won't cat. Okay, this cat is killing. Well, I think I'm kind of getting in there. Stella, I'm almost done. I promise. And I'm going to leave this in, too. Is a Ciri chapter. We catch back up. Chapter 7. Until next time, oh, I should probably say, see, I'm still rusty on it. Comments, questions, suggestions, WitcherPodcast@gmail.com. Again, on Twitter, @WitcherPodcast. If you're listening to this right when it comes, it's Friday night right now at 9:30, so it'll be released shortly. I'm hopefully, probably, unless something really goes wrong, but it shouldn't. I'm probably going to stream at least tomorrow as the Gwent expansion came out. Whole lot of dwarf cards in there, setting right up to where we are. Monroe Broys. Other ones that I can't. Figgis is in there. Sheldon's already had one. Yarpin's had one. It's no Caleb Stratton, though. So there should probably be a Caleb Stratton one. But they'll be in there. So I'm probably going to stream that tomorrow. So sometime, I'm not sure. It's good to be back. I'm going to get better on this schedule. So stay on the path, and the next Temerian Rye will be on me.